Praise God. Good morning. And trust that God is keeping you, sustaining you, watching over you. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And today we will be in the book of Acts, and we are looking at the sending out of Barnabas and Saul. And you know, one of the things that we need to appreciate about the Christian walk is that God is always looking to send forth people. God is in need of laborers. And this is the one thing that He speaks even in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus is sending the disciples. He says, "See, behold, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And He says, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, and He shall send forth laborers into His harvest field." One of the challenges that we often think is it is hard, you know, I mean, places are hard, that, you know, this is a difficult place to work in or to serve in or to do missions in. But to Jesus, He had a different perspective. Jesus' perspective was that the harvest is plentiful, but it is only that the laborers are few. And He asked us as believers to make a specific prayer, which is, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, and He shall send forth laborers into His harvest field." So the call and the prayer that we need to have is for laborers, because we need men that can be sent by God, men that have been with Him, men that are empowered to serve Him, and men that are sensitive to be led by the Spirit of God each and every way. And so one of the things that we see is about the apostles. And when we see in the church in Antioch, and today we're in Acts chapter 13, but maybe before that, we'll just look at the last part of Acts chapter 12 and conclude it, because it forms a foundation of how they now get to this point. Now, Acts chapter 12, verse 25 tells us that, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. They also took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Now, what was this ministry? Remember, they had been sent by the church in Antioch, to go and send aid, to the believers in Jerusalem, considering that the prophet Agabus had prophesied that there is going to be a severe famine. And remember, this war, they were in Antioch. And at this point, what we have is we have two centers of the church. We have the church, I mean, ideally, like main believers, we have the church in Jerusalem, but we also have the church in Antioch. And the church in Antioch ideally is the pattern that God wanted, in that it was a mixed multitude. It consisted of both the Jews and the Gentiles, and they were praying together. And remember, the Bible tells us that it was born out of some of the Jews who had been in Cyprus and Cyrene when they went to Antioch, and they decided to preach to the Hellenists. They preached to the Jews. To the Gentiles, because the previous disciples who were scattered, they only preached to the Jews everywhere they went. But these men who were devout, who were believers, who were originally from Cyrene and Cyprus, they decided they are going to preach to the Gentiles, to the Hellenists. And when they did that, the Bible says God's grace was upon them, and the church grew and multiplied. The word of God grew and multiplied. And when the church in Jerusalem heard, they sent to them Barnabas. Now, when Barnabas came, the Bible tells us that Barnabas saw the grace that was on them, and he encouraged them, and he preached to them. He was a prophet. He was a man full of faith and full of the Spirit. And so what Barnabas does is that he goes and looks for Saul. Remember, Saul had been sent away to go and hide in Tarsus. And so he finds Saul, and when he finds Saul, he brings Saul to him in Antioch. And the Bible says, for over a year they preached the church, they taught the people, and this is the place where the believers were first called Christians. And here we looked at that message where we say Christianos is that Greek word which means followers of Christ, in that they became the exact representation of Christ in their character, in their life, and in their behavior, that men could be able to see that this man have been with Jesus. So you see, it is not really about those who were physically with Jesus in the time of his earth that can become Christians or can become Christ-like, but it is those that are taught the word of God, them that are obedient, and them that have stayed with Christ. Now, when we enter into Acts chapter 13, we now see that the Bible tells us that now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, or the black man, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, it's telling us about there were certain prophets and teachers. And I've said this before, when the Bible tells us someone is a prophet, it does not mean specifically this is a person who is telling the future, because prophecy has two parts. It has foretelling, which is telling the future, and it also has forthtelling, which is communicating a direct message from God. So anyone that preaches has taken time to pray, and God has spoken to him and given him a word, and he comes and declares it to you, is a prophet. And this is what we call that prophecy is for exhortation, is for encouragement, you know, is for training, is for building in righteousness, is for the edification of the church. So the purpose of a prophet is someone who will encourage and build you up. And this is the purpose of prophecy. Now, the Bible tells us that there were certain prophets and teachers. And the Bible tells us that verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the various versions that say, as they worshiped the Lord with fasting, as they spent time in the presence of God, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. It says, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, verse 4, which is key, says, so, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, today we'll focus on this aspect of being sent out by the Holy Spirit. And we need to actually look at the scriptures and see what are these foundational things that happen even before being sent out. And if you see the pattern of Jesus, Jesus called his disciples. Mark 3 verse 14 tells us that Jesus called the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them. Now, the first thing that Jesus calls people is to be with him. Before he sends you, he actually wants you to be with him. Now, you'll find that some people want to be sent. They want to go on assignments. They want to be given, you know, a church to start, yet they don't know Jesus. Yet they are not yet qualified by God. Yes, it is true that God calls the unqualified, but he does not send the unqualified. He qualifies those that he has called. You are first attested to be true. You are proved. When God said, study to show yourself a workman, approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, God is telling us that he must approve you first before then he sends you. Now, one of the things that you will see that there is a difference between being called of God and being sent of God. Now, when you are called of God, it's an invitation to intimacy. It's an invitation to be with Him. It's an invitation to know Him, to spend time with Him, to hear His voice. It's an invitation to be taught by Him, to learn and to walk with Him. You know, that's why the Bible says, walk in step with the Spirit. I mean, many people want to fly. Many people want to, you know, to do so much, but yet they have not yet learned the basics of hearing the voice of God, of being led by the Spirit. Because if you don't know how to be led by the Spirit, if you don't know the voice of God, then you shall end in trouble. There are situations that you shall not go. Why? Because if you have learned His voice, and that's why it's important to know the voice of God before you are even known by the world. Why? Because it is in that knowledge of that voice of God and in your obedience to Him, when that voice, when that sensitivity gets to you and is calling you and is giving you an alert in the Spirit, that is a moment for you to pray. You need to pray until that burden is lifted, or you need to find out what is that area of disobedience, or what is that thing that you need to act on at that specific moment, that when you act on it, then God gives you the freedom and releases you. Why? Because He has to arrest you. And when He arrests you at that moment, it is necessary for the work that He wants to do. So one of the things that you will see about God is that God does not call the qualified, but He qualifies those that He calls. So as I say, there's a difference between the calling and the assignment. So when we are called to be with God, it's actually like a mark. And this happens ideally even when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that God anoints you and calls you and tells you that now I have marked you for something special. But now you see, when you are marked, then there's still a gap between the anointing and the time when you enter into your manifestation. Now, if you look at, give an example of David. David was called by God. He was anointed by God to be king, yet he was still a boy. He was still 17. But then he has to go through a process until he's at least 33 years old before then he becomes king. Now, that is to tell us that there is a training process. And the challenge is, many do not subject themselves to the training of God. But you see, the training of God is not limited to just God alone. The training of God is done in the place of service and also under the man of God. One of the things why I read earlier chapter 12 is to show you that Barnabas and Saul were people who were willing to be sent. There were people who were ready to go. They were already under a ministry. They were already under leaders. You know, yes, they were the preachers, but they submitted themselves to a team. They were under a team that they will pray together. They will spend time ministering to the Lord. And that word is key, because the Bible is telling us that they were not just praying, oh, that we want to get something to do. They are not praying for an assignment. The Bible tells us that they were ministering to the Lord. And this is something that God needs to teach us, that we need to be taught how to spend time with Him. And when we are taught how to spend time with Him, the focus is not ourselves. The focus is not what we want, but the focus of ministering to the Lord is that God is the object of our worship, or God is our priority in that worship, and nothing else matters apart from Him. Now, anyone who has not learned the discipline of ministering to the Lord, of being a throne room minister, and this is one of the words that I use, there are ministers of various kinds. There are those who minister in the outer courts. And even God speaks about that. He says, no, those ones, leave them. They will minister to the needs of the people at the outer courts. Those guys who are doing the wrong things, let them stay in the outer courts. Why? Because they minister to people who come in that shape. There are people who come to God just for their own needs, and God knows them. So He gives them the ministers who minister to their need. Why? Because those guys are just coming for a prophecy. Let me give them a prophecy and let them go. They're not coming to me. And God gives them ministers who minister to Him, to them at that point. But you see, apart from the outer court, there is the inner court. There is the Holy of Holies. And this is the place where those that minister to the Lord. Now, when God moves you on, when God through your heart urges you and draws you from the process of ministering unto men and to minister unto God, this ideally is the highest form of ministry, now which is called ministry to the Lord or ministering to the Lord. And this is what who we call a throne room minister, one who focuses on worship to God. And the Bible tells us, while they were ministering to the Lord with fasting, with prayer, with worship, with spending time with meditation, then the Holy Spirit says, separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, it's interesting that God is saying that it's not to the work that I am calling them to. Look at the difference of the wordings. It's not to the work that I am calling them to. It is to the work for which I have called them. That means he's saying that this is not something new that they are being aware of. This is not something new that they are hearing now. No, this is something that I have already placed in their hearts. They already know what it is that they call them. Remember, even Saul at his calling, the Bible tells us that he said that this man is my chosen instrument of whom he will send my message to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. And I will show him the things he must suffer for me in my name. That means that the call of God, even at the point of salvation, or even at the point of calling, is at times very clear to us. It is so clear that you know what God has called you to do. But you see, there is still a difference between allowing God to send you forth. And that's why I keep saying there's a difference between the call of God and being sent out. Why? Because when you are sent out is when God gives you specific tasks and assignments, and now he has qualified you that now you are fit to go forth into the world and represent him. But that gap between the calling and the sending for is a place of service. And this is where you serve men, you serve God, you minister to the Lord, you are available to be sent by various leaders and servants of God, and you are in that place of service until then that leadership or that conglomerate that of those believers that are with you and can attest that this is ideally what we see God has set you apart for, and then they're ready to be sent. Who is an apostle? Apostle is a sent man. Someone who's sent on a specific errand with a specific assignment, but this is not a child. We do not send forth immature believers or children, but those that are sent are those that are approved of God. And the Bible clearly even at this point gives us the order. It says Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. God called them in the past, but now he gets to a point where he says, now separate for me. You teachers can carry on with the church. There are those who God has called to go out. There are those who God has called to go to the nations. There are those who God has called to do missionary work in certain communities. There are those who God has called to other churches, to plant other churches. And there is nothing wrong with that. But you see, when God has called them, it is our job as we hear that voice to send them out, to pray with them, place our hands on them, and release them to go and do that which God has called them. Because we don't know how much time each of us have. We don't know how much time we have. And there is an urgency in the spirit that we need to do the king's business with haste. We need to run. We need to not wait, because many of us are waiting. But if you have been called and if you have been sent, do not waste time. Do the king's work. Do the king's work. The king's business requires haste. because the Bible tells us that night is coming where no man can work. Let us work as long as it is still today. My brothers and sisters, I pray that God will give us insight and insight into this. Be ready to be called. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many have had the call, but God has many disobedient sons. God has many disobedient children. That's why it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, are the sons of God, are the mature sons of God. God, I thank you for your children. I pray for obedience, O God. I pray for a spirit of sensitivity. I pray for the grace to serve. I pray for the grace for patience. I pray for the grace to learn how to hear your voice, to know when you have called them, to know when they are in the place of service, in the place of preparation, and to be faithful when you are giving them the voice to be separated to the work to which you call them to do. I thank you for your servants. I pray that this moment they are having clarity of purpose, clarity of direction, clarity of what they need to do, O God, because God, you are a God who is in charge. You're a God who is faithful. You're a God who is mighty to be praised. There is none like you, none in the heavens, none on the earth, O God. I pray for your servants, those that are on their assignments, O God. Empower them, be with them, encourage them, keep them and sustain them, O God. May your word constantly be with them. May your grace constantly be with them. May you show that you have called them. May you give them the proofs, the evidence that they have been with you, O God. Because it is you that backs those you have called. I pray for those that are sick. I pray for the healing, O God. I pray for those that are trusting in you for answers, for breakthrough, O God. That, Lord, you meet them at their points of need. Thank you for your servants, that you are raising up throne room ministers, O God. Those that will minister to you, O God. Those that will know your heart. Those that will know your needs, O God. Those that will spend time with you, not just for themselves, not just for miracles, not just for power, O God. But spend time with you because they love you, because of who you are. I commit this day into your able hands. Go ahead of us, keep us, sustain us, and watch over us. We trust in you, we depend on you, and we look upon you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom. And have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye.